never rests.
Beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? I am Jake Rowe. He is Jake Roos. This is the Georgia Show. It is National Signing Day. And eventful morning, kind of, sort of, not really for Georgia. 15 signees already, and most of them came on about, I don't know, felt like last 5 minutes right before the show.
Right.
So over half of Georgia's class is in. The entire offensive line class is in. A couple of edges right there back-to-back. There's plenty going on in terms of Georgia signing guys. Jake, anything thus far surprising to you as we give everybody kind of an update on what's going on? What stood out to you, the biggest signing, anything you can really kind of anchor down on right now?
Well, you know, I think in terms of the biggest name that's in so far, I'd probably say Elias Williams, personally, just going ahead and getting that one done. Not a huge surprise. You thought Georgia was going to, lock that one down. He said over the summer that he'd locked it up. That didn't stop teams from trying, of course, but just to go ahead and get him in, get him done. Also, too, I think it's great and very classically offensive line to have all five of your offensive linemen done and in the bag before 11 a.m. on signing day. Great sign for them there. I think that we were watching Tavian Wallace commitment pretty closely, and that surprised me a little bit, not because he didn't come to Georgia, but because he stuck with Arkansas. A lot of credit to Travis Williams and that staff there in Fayetteville. I think they did a fantastic job with that. Looked like FSU was going to be the pick in the end, but he ends up sticking with Arkansas. And largely, I think that's good news for the Georgia Bulldogs. That's a guy they would have loved to have had, no doubt about it. But they signed the nation's number one linebacker in Zayden Walker, so that kind of takes a little bit of the sting out of losing on another guy like Tavian Wallace.
Yeah, I'd say it takes a lot of sting off whenever you've signed four or five-star linebackers in the past three classes and just kind of stack them up. It's one of those deals where, Georgia's taking some swings at some guys late, and they got themselves kind of in position. There's no points for second place, but you're disappointed whenever you don't get guys, and then it's one of those deals where you can get into the race. Like, you can get yourself back into the mix. You can get them listening. But breakups are tough sometimes there that last little bit, especially when it's a situation like his where he committed to, you know, a university largely because of a really good, fine young coach and Travis Williams. And that was a tough one there for Georgia to overcome. Outside of Elias Williams, defensive side of the ball, I mean, listen, you got some five stars. You only got one of four five stars in play right now. Any concern there?
Not really. I don't think so. I think Isaiah Gibson has been, really trolling folks and having a good time with his recruitment here kind of in the lead up. But I think that it's a situation where you should feel good about where things stand with him going into this thing. Elijah Griffin, we haven't heard anything necessarily to make us worry there. So that's not one I'm watching too closely at the moment. I think everything's solid for Georgia, has been since he committed. And he took a lot of time to even make that commitment. So I think it made a lot of sense. Not a lot of concern, no. I think some of these early signees they've gotten in on the defensive side of the ball, though, very good, especially Darren Ikenigbon. I think that that's a guy that has probably been a little bit more lightly discussed than some of the names in this class, because he's from New Jersey, because he was super quiet, he committed and it was basically done deal. People, I think, forgot about Darren Ikenigbon a little bit, and I would caution them not to do that. Going back and reading, some of the things that his coach had to say, you're talking about a guy who's 6'6", like 260, man. I mean, a fantastic frame. Really just a tremendous player. And for them to go up into the Northeast, without Fran Brown and pull a talent like that, I think really just speaks volumes to the inroads that the Bulldogs have been able to make. They've been able to continue some of that momentum they've had up there afterward. And I think that that's super impactful. Just looking around right now, I think that they do need some additional help. a defensive back, for example. I think that they'd love to pull another guy at that position. Right now, it doesn't sound like that's going to be Laganza Hayward. It looks like that's probably trending a little bit more Florida.
Yeah, I would say almost without a doubt he's going to go to Florida.
Right. Well, you know, here's the thing, though. We would have said a week ago he was going to go to Tennessee. So, I mean, he's kept people guessing throughout his entire recruitment.
I'm just going from what George expects. Yeah, you know, like normally if you're still in contact and communication or whatever, I feel like this kid might be going. I mean, our Georgia sources are saying Florida, so that's what I'm going on.
Sure.
You're right,
but you got to go. You know, I think that's another area you've got to continue to look at. You know, Kevin Wynn is another guy we've been watching kind of in the lead up to this. That one's trending heavy FSU for him to stick, and you know, not a huge surprise there. I think that he's a guy that you know, kind of waffled back and forth, took some last minute visits to Georgia, and you know, FSU just won out in the end, longstanding relationship. And I mentioned on the board too, Kevin Wynn to me felt like a guy who was, and you get a couple of these in every cycle, I think, looking to go somewhere else. He was not a guy who was just beholden to that home state idea. He was checking in on a lot of other options, Florida State, USC, take your pick of which one you want, East or West Coast. He was looking at both of them pretty heavily. He had every opportunity to come to Georgia and, you know, he kind of just chose not to. And so I think that, it was a very telling, I think it was very telling that, you know, he didn't come, but, you know, it says a lot about what FSU is trying to do in this cycle and in this day, especially. But look, and I said this yesterday on the board, and I hope that people will hear me when I say this. If all you do in this period is hold on to what you got, and on Friday at Justice Terry, that's a tremendous class. That's an unbelievable group of talent. Now, is that all that's going to happen? I don't know. Right now, it kind of feels like that might be it. But one of the hallmarks, I had somebody reach out to me today, and they said, well, will there be a KJ Bolden moment in this class? And I said, I don't have a feel on who that would be in this moment, but it has sort of become a hallmark of the Kirby Smart era, that there's something that happens around National Signing Day that you might not be expecting. A name pops back up, or somebody, you know, ends up with Georgia. Like I said, we don't have anything on deck to project something of that nature at this moment, but I do think that, you know, would it shock me? No, it wouldn't.
And guy I want to get back to is one you were talking about earlier, Elias Williams. I agree. This one is a big one to get in, because this is the kind of guy that the teams don't, other programs don't stop coming after. I mean, you know, if they can get somebody in your camp or a coach or somebody to say, hey, yeah, he hadn't signed yet. Dude, they're trying to get something in front of you as fast as possible. And to get this guy kind of in the fold before lunch, before, you know, right around 10 a.m., I think it was, I mean, that's massive. And this is another – listen, I'm not trying to say this guy's Brock Bowers. He's not. He's different. I'm not trying to say he's Darnell Washington. He's different there too. But this is a freak talent right here. This is probably the most freakish talent in Georgia's class.
He might exist in the middle ground between those two entities, however.
I think a little mashup. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's, you know, he is the big body of Darnell, though. Darnell to me always felt like he was a jumbo edge, or like an offensive tackle slimmed down playing tight end, whereas Brock was just freak athlete and just a tremendous player. This guy is not necessarily built at like, I don't think he could put on the weight like Darnell Washington could have and be an offensive tackle. But yeah, from a size perspective, I think that, you know, you're talking about some similarities. And then, I mean, people are just bouncing off of the guy. I mean, he looks like an adult playing against children.
Yeah.
That's kind of been a consistent theme throughout. A tremendous program. He played that at Camden County as well. Was at Charlton County, went to Camden County. Two of the storied programs in the state, obviously Charlton with the Baileys, and then, you know, Camden County's one of the best programs in the country, you know, in the Southeast, certainly. So, you know, Williams is a guy who every bit of that upside should excite you. He's going to be able to block. He's going to be able to get out and catch passes. He's got speed. He can get up and get a ball. He is one of the elite weapons in this class. What's interesting to me, Jake, is that he's not higher ranked. And I say that from our perspective, but not only our perspective, because the rankings are pretty consistent when it comes to this guy. Most people have him right around the 40th best player in the country. To me, given the value that we've seen on the tight end position in the last few years, I am hesitant to believe that's the case, personally. If you think he's the number one tight end in the country and he has these elite physical tools, look, he's probably the closest thing we're going to get to like LeBron James playing tight end. I think he should be a little higher on the board. But at any rate, he's the number one tight end in the country. He's committed to Georgia and he signed with Georgia, and the Dogs couldn't be any more thrilled about it.
And a lot of teams, if you're sitting here watching these defensive clips, are probably pretty glad he's not going to play defense, because he's like Sean Oakman. I mean, there's some stuff going on there with him freakishly. And I remember Matt Godwin telling me a little while back that he that Chidera at one point was fighting to maybe try to get his hands on this kid. And I think Todd Hartley beat him back with a stick or something, you know, just an axe handle or something, just whatever he could get his hands on to make sure that he got to coach Elias Williams. But yeah, he's a freakish talent, man. I know Rusty's been really high on him for a long time, and you're right. He definitely kind of gives you that mashup vibe of kind of big body and a freakish athletic talent. If I would have told you coming into this class, no matter when you add him, two top 100 wide receivers, one of them is going to be a five-star. And, you know, I'm assuming what you mentioned a minute ago, that Georgia gets Justice Terry, two five-star defensive linemen, top two defensive linemen in the country.
Number one linebacker.
And a couple of very, very high upside receiving and blocking tight ends in Ethan Barber and Elias Williams. I think everybody would have been really stoked with that. So, I mean, ultimately it comes down to signing Justice Terry, holding on to Ousmane Chroma, And hey, see what else can break your way. I mean, listen, it's a long day here that we're going to be dealing with. There's going to be lots of ebbs and flows. Can Georgia get back in it with Kevin Wynn? Can they make a little bit of a move here late and kind of be the last team to make a move? We saw it earlier today. All the picks, Florida was going to land. Dallas Wilson.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those picks started to get out. Oregon got the last offer in. He sticks with his commitment to Oregon. We see this every national signing day, that somebody gets a chance to kind of make that last impression, and the last impression is important.
Oh, no question about it. Absolutely. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, that's where you want to be. You want to be the last man standing. I mean, it's not dissimilar from the college football playoff in that way. As long as you're there at the end. And it's – my dad uses the old phrase all the time. You need a chip in a chair, man. As long as you're in it, you're in it. And you can keep playing the game as long as they'll let you. Yeah, you know, something like that would be huge. Like you said, make a move on Wynn. Right now, it doesn't sound like that's the direction things are going to end up going. But like I said, if all you did was hold on to what you had and add Justice Terry on Friday, you should be pretty thrilled about that. Like you said, two top 100 receivers, the number one tight end in the country, who's a receiving threat of epic proportions, just an incredibly tough person to stop. And then you go out and, you know, add what you've added on the defensive side of the ball. Elijah Griffin, number one defensive lineman in the country. Justice Terry, if you get him, number two defensive lineman in the country. Isaiah Gibson, number one edge in the country. Darren Ikenigbon, top 100 edge in the country. Zayden Walker, number one linebacker in the country. I mean,
Chase Linton's a top 10 edge in the country.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, the one area, if I'm looking at it from my perspective, the one area I would be a little concerned with is that defensive back. It's not as strong as some of the other groups. You don't know. You're hoping that, you know, this Dominic Kelly reclass works out well for you too, as far as cornerbacks. But, you know, look, that's one of those that Georgia has also shown a bit of a propensity to kind of approach through the portal. And, oh, yeah, they've got last year's number one cornerback in Ellis Robinson, waiting his turn. DeMello Jones, a top 10 cornerback in the country, waiting his turn as well. So there's a lot to be said for that position group, even though I would say in this cycle, it's not the strongest for Georgia that it's been.
All right, let's play a game right here. Let me add Rusty Mansell in here. He has wandered up. We apparently didn't hide the stream well enough, and Rusty found us. But I'm going to bring him in. And
Rusty's audio work. That's the game.
Yeah, Will Rusty's audio work? This is we're always having gremlins here, and I'm excited.
You got me? Let's see what
happens. You got you, bud?
I hope not.
Oh, yes.
Damn. First try. All right. First try.
Hey. I was about to be out of here so fast. I was going
to
be like,
right, listen, Rusty, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get on the phone as soon as we get out of this and start looking at punters, long snappers, and kickers, because we're living right. One good things comes in threes. That could be what happens next. You need to start checking the phones.
Other than me posting on the old Dogs 247 board that Georgia may not be done and talking about Stetson Bennett that night, I pulled over in a rainstorm.
I did too. I had to pull over
on I-75 to say Georgia may not be done, and that was about 7:30. And Georgia fans had talked themselves into Herschel Walker coming back for his fourth year. By the time they announced Stetson Bennett, I got absolutely lit up like I have never been lit up. And I just say, guys, they may not be done. I didn't say they're getting a 5-star, but they just happened to get a quarterback that won 2 national championships. So all y'all can, you know what.
Yeah. You called me about 15 minutes before you put it on the board, and you're like, hey, we need to have something ready for Stetson. Because I remember texting you about it this morning. I said, hey, have you heard anything about Stetson? And you were like, not yet. And then, you know, it wasn't long, and you kind of had – we were on the trail. You text me. I pulled over beside 316 to make sure I got a story ready. And I think I sat there until –
Well, Georgia actually released that, remember? We didn't break it. They released it. I just got kind of tipped that, hey, Georgia's about to do something with Stetson Bennett. And I'm thinking, well, we got a little bit of time. Let's find out. Are they trying to make a decision? And they released it like at 8 o'clock that night. And I was like, this is – what a day. And that is an all-timer. That dude won 2 – national championships, and people would literally give up their right leg to have that guy back right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hey, we love being live here. Thanks, Blind Squirrel. That's Blind Squirrel Sports, man. That sounds like a good name for me. Rusty, what any buzz, anything going on here? I mean, I know for the most part, it's kind of just been a little bit of a chalk day, holding on to who you got. I know that's the name of the game today, the biggest, most important part of the day. What are you hearing?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Hold on. I mean, these guys have probably a top 2, top 3 minimum class, and everybody is coming at them sharks in the water. You know what I mean? And I think the Ryan Montgomery deal came out of nowhere last night. That got really serious. I would say this morning around 6 a.m., I thought he was going to Florida. I think Florida thought he was going to Florida. I thought he was going to Florida. And, you know, we'll probably get a backstory on that, but that was a first big deal. I think they're going to hold on to, I don't think they've announced Isaiah Gibson, have they?
No, they have not.
Yeah, he's going to announce later today, but I think they're going to hold on to him. Michigan obviously made a big run there. The one to really watch, you know, sounds like Florida State is still pushing hard on Osmani Chroma. I'm going to get that right. And before I have to do his game Friday Night TV, but it sounds like Florida State is definitely in on this running back out of Lee County. You know, if that's a big one to watch the next couple hours. He's going to announce and sign at 2 p.m. Jeremiah McLeod, his teammate, will sign at the same time and announce. You know, that sounded like Georgia for a while. Then it sounded like he was going to stay in Florida's class this morning. I talked to Chad Simmons about 10 minutes ago. Chad said he talked to a really good source on this, and the guy's like, he is really torn right now. So the Lee County 2 o'clock announcement will be what Georgia fans need to watch today. That's going to be, you know, you could go 2-0, you could go 1-1, or you could go 0-2 there. That's going to be one to watch.
What's the word on Kevin Wynn?
I think he's going to stay with Florida State. I really do. The more I thought about that, and the more that I should have probably taken, you know, there was some Georgia buzz, but with that, you know, he's had every opportunity to go to Georgia. He's had every opportunity to decommit. He's had every opportunity to decommit from Florida State, and he did not do it. He went to Georgia Friday. I know he had a good visit. I know he stayed longer than he was supposed to. He brought multiple family members with him. He did go to Florida State on Saturday. And I wasn't sure how much that was going to weigh in on it. But I think he's going to stay with Florida State. And listen, it's not going to be one of those like Georgia got, you know, NIL'd. Georgia made a really competitive offer from everything I've heard there. I just think that he felt like he can play quicker at Florida State, and there's something about Florida State that he likes. And if that's where he ends up going, I think that'll be the reason behind it.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it too, Rusty, when we talked about this, there were people on the board talking about Tavion Wallace, mm-hmm. you know, in Arkansas, and the idea, they said, oh, well, you know, he's never, you know, they won't be there to see him through. Travis Williams will get another job. Sam Pittman won't be there next year. Mm-hmm. Look, that's the beauty of the transfer portal, man. If you feel like you fit in at a place and you love the coaches and you have a connection with them, go ahead and find your fit and go there and know that if things go up sideways, you've got the opportunity to leave. So it's not a situation where these guys are beholden to a spot. You know, if it doesn't work out, like some people think it might not at FSU, guess what? He's going to get the chance to redo this again, and seemingly as many times as he'd like to.
Yeah. Well, you don't burn a bridge there. I'm trying to be rude, make sure I don't miss anything. You don't burn a bridge because you never know. Can you imagine if KJ Bolden went to Florida State, what we'd be covering right now?
Right.
I mean, we'd be covering this like crazy. Is that Air Sick Dog? Says wins, Bills like Dexter Lawrence. He is not built like Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence was a really big dude and was a really just probably one of the best defensive. We had Dexter Lawrence and Derrick Brown on that defensive line on the East, and Jacob Eason and Felipe Franks literally probably have nightmares about those two guys in practice. They couldn't get a ball off all week because we could not block Dexter Lawrence and Derrick Brown, who were side by side. So Kevin Wynn's more of a squatty type. He's a big body, wide guy. He's definitely an anchor.
Kind of a bigger Devontae Wyatt.
Just heavier. Real wide shoulder. I don't know actually how tall he is, but listen, he's a good player. But to compare him to Dexter Lawrence, I don't know that one would be the comp there. Dexter Lawrence is one of the top 6-7 defensive linemen in the last 10 years, probably in football to me. And he's getting paid, I think, second or third highest in NFL.
Wanted to get to this one too, the addition of Gus Malzahn at FSU. Listen, I mean, if you're Osmani Kroma and you're sitting there thinking, hey, I want to be a workhorse, I want to be a bell cow, he'll run you. Gus Malzahn will hand that football to you, buddy. He handed it to Trey Mason and Kerryon Johnson until they couldn't tote it anymore. He'll get the football if he wants to play for Gus Malzahn. That's the truth.
One thing I'll say about Florida State too, people are like, where are they getting all this money? There's a big difference now in what they're doing versus what Georgia and some of the other schools are doing is roster retention. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They're not having to pay the old roster. You know what I mean? A lot of those guys, they're like, hey, y'all can roll. You know what I mean? Georgia's going to don't think that everybody's going to stay in Silver Britches just because they love Between the Hedges. You know what I mean? That's just bottom line. Georgia's going to have roster retention. They're going to have to pay Ohio State, you know, pay the entire roster to stay almost last year, a bunch of juniors to come back. So, you know, Georgia deals with that. So all of a sudden, Florida State, it seems like they've got unlimited funds. It looks like to me, Florida State is putting a huge emphasis on this class and putting a lot of money in this class because they may not have to do it in their roster. I don't know what's going to be left down there going into this season.
Well, that
we were talking about it before you hopped on here. You know, of these early signees, you know, who kind of jumps off the page to you? I went with Elias Williams. So, I mean, that was probably the easy grab.
Yeah, he's different. I'm excited to see him. I think this is a kid that Miami went after, and I'm telling you that Miami went after him in a very Miami way. And he shut it down. He said, no, man, I'm going to Georgia. And kudos to Todd Hartley. Shut that down last May, and I don't think he ever visited anywhere else. And schools kept trying to chip away and chip away. Look, it's hard to get these guys like this, but to get a guy like him, that says, and Zayden Walker's the number one rated inside linebacker in America. And he never took another visit, never even thought about it. He shut it down and worried about his senior year. So those kids, you put a little more appreciation on them, but I do think Elias Williams, you want to talk about people that can impact Georgia's offense next year. They don't have a person like Elias Williams on campus right now. This guy's going to walk in the room. He's going to be a lot taller and a lot more kind of upside, I think. Now, you have to adjust to the college game. You have to do all those things. But skill set-wise, Georgia didn't have a guy like this on campus right now at all.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. That's he's definitely a freak show for them and a kind of that complete body tight end, almost in a way that even Darnell Washington wasn't because he's such a good athlete. I mean, I know Darnell was a freak athlete too. This guy's just different. Me and Roos were talking about it's kind of like there's a spectrum from Brock Bowers to Darnell Washington. He's signing somewhere on that spectrum between those two, as opposed to being more like one or the other. All right, guys, listen, we got another show coming up later today, and we got a lot of work to get to, so we're going to get to it. But you can bank on it. We're going to be back to recap what happened for Georgia on National Signing Day, the fallout, everything. But for this morning, that's all we got. Y'all come on over to Dogs HQ, 7 days, $1. Easy to be a member at Dogs HQ right now, and also easy to kill a lot of your time because there's so much going on. Come hang out with us. We'll see you.